You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
It's a little sermon today. You guys happy about that? 15, 20 minutes worth? Huh? I can hear people crying in the back somewhere. No! We want more. Go to Psalm 37 if you're there. This was something that hit me hard this week. I've been very conflicted. Very focused, but very conflicted. And again, because of the things that we're going through, and I'll just bare my soul as if I haven't done that before, there has been an easy way for me to handle the issues that have been happening with my family. And as the man of the house, and it's my house, and that kind of a thing, I want to seek some sort of revenge. And so it has been a good test of me saying, Lord, I can trust you in all things. You know what I'm saying? So this is a little deal called, I think I put Trusting Walk. Is that what you guys have on your, is it Trusting Walk 101 or something like that?
Yes.
That sounds good. We'll go with Trusting Walk 101. If I got that, I'd have to go all the way down the stairs and come all the way back. If there were a servant leader somewhere. We look like the Bruise Brothers together when we're playing out. Trust Walking 101. You guys ready to do this? Let's read it. Do not worry because of evildoers, nor be envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass. They'll fade like the green herb. Trust, rely on, and have confidence in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed securely on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and the petitions of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him also, and he will do it. He will make your righteousness, your pursuit of right standing with God, like the light, and your judgment like the shining of the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord, wait patiently for him, and entrust yourself to him. Do not fret, that means whine or agonize, because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and abandon wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. Guys, read verses backwards. What's that last verse say backwards? If you want to be led into evil, start fretting. That last verse says, if you want to be led into evil, start fretting. You guys say fretting like you're from the South?
Yeah.
Fretting. Wait, you better believe it. Cease from anger and abandon your wrath. Wow. I've had to do that this week. This passage has meant a lot to me this week. As a good Baptist preacher, I've alliterated it for you into five S's that I'm sure you guys want to write down on the palm of your hand and not wash your hand the rest of the week and remember this. You guys ready? Surrender. Surrender. Look at verse 3. Trust, rely, and have confidence in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed securely on his faithfulness. I love it. Trust in the Lord. Can you rely on him? Yeah, you can rely on him. Oh, can you have confidence in him? I always look at this as, God, I can have confidence in you because you and I are the same. And I know what you want. You want what I want. Church, I want the bad guys put away. I want this in my church. I want this in my life. I want this in my marriage. I know, and you know, we're together on the same team. But to have confidence in the Lord means I don't have confidence in myself. I place the confidence I have in myself into God. Okay, Lord, I'm not sure what to do, but I have confidence in you. You know what God is saying back? If you have confidence in me, then take your hands off. Yeah, but off. Could we work it to where I get some of what I really want? Nah, take your hands off. Yeah, but what if this happens? What if something happens that I don't want to see? Yeah, that's God's business, isn't it? Does he own me? Yeah, he owns me. But now I'm going to have to give myself to him and say, okay, if you want to own me, I give myself in all my thoughts, my mind, all my heart, my trust, the hands, what I do, I'm going to give it all to you. Well, that means I get it all. Will you trust me? Will you have confidence in me? Wouldn't you hate to be in a relationship that you didn't have confidence in the other person? And yet you kept giving yourself to the other person? Man, that stinks. And God is saying, give it to me. Give it to me. Remember a few months ago, we talked about the burden, vision, motivation, commitment, those kind of things. And we said, what's God burdened you about? And we said that whatever God's burdened you about, what does he want you to do with that burden? Give it to me. Give it to me. I gave it to you so that we connect together. Give it back. Why has this nasty thing happened in Houston? Why has this nasty thing happened to me and my wife? Why has the nasty thing happened to you on Tuesday? Becca had a flat tire this week. Ugh. Why did that happen? Everything happens of significance to draw us closer to God. Why did you have the flat tire? In some crazy way, it's to spend more time with him. I'm angry, I'm upset, I'm going to miss my meeting. My schedule is yours. Had a fight with the kids, with the dog, with the cat. Cats don't fight, they just run away. Had a fight. How come? To draw you closer to God. Relax. Do you have confidence in God? You see that trust part, that surrender part? I can give this up. He knows more than I do. Amen? Right, honey? Yeah. Number two, secure. Look at secure. Look at verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and petitions of your heart. He gives us the desires and petitions of our heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. What is this? Security. Security. Read this verse backwards. If you want the desires and petitions of your heart to be answered, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. It's kind of a funny thing. When we pray alignment prayers with God versus asking for stuff, when we give our heart to him and say, my heart, I want it to be in alignment with you, that means whatever your plan is for my life, I'll accept it. I'll go with it. Instead of fighting that and saying, Lord, I really want to go this way. If you'll make this happen, then I'll follow you. Ugh. No, when you make those alignment prayers to God, he'll answer you. It may not be what you originally wanted in the first place. When you ask God for stuff, you're telling him, this is what I want. And if you'll do this, then I'll be happy and I'll follow you. And you're giving God direction. If you do this, I'll be good. When you lay yourself on the altar and say, Lord, you give me direction. I'll direct my prayers to you. Then it really doesn't matter the flat tire, it's whatever, the moving van controversy, the bad relationships, the bad dog, cat, kids, whatever. Then those things are kind of like, well, I wonder why God sent this to me today. Why has he allowed this to come my way? There's a lot of security in that. You're not freaked out. You're not stressed out. In fact, if you can be with Jesus through those hard times, you start to delight yourself in his company. not delight yourself in the fact that, God, can you take this stuff away? Because sometimes he doesn't. But he is always with you in the middle of the storm. Have you noticed that for the last few weeks I've been saying that about every single week? He doesn't take the bad stuff away. We live in a corrupt world out there, don't we? There's bad stuff all over the place. There'll be bad stuff that happens tomorrow. But he says, fear not, because I am with you in the middle of the bad stuff. He doesn't say, fear not, I'll set you on the gravy train and take care of all the problems. He doesn't say that. He says, fear not, because I'm with you. Oh, I love it. You know, if you're having a hard time trusting God, ask him to change your heart. Give me a heart like yours, God. Because, man, we're just fighting. When I talk to someone, they say, well, God doesn't listen to me. Oh, well, what are you telling him?
I'm telling him what I want.
Yeah, it's kind of tough. Have the desires of your heart become his desires. I teach a class on Friday. It's the ministry formations class. And we talk about God's call on the life of these pastors and missionaries in training, you know, and going to school and all this kind of stuff. As we talk about the call, we talk about the passion, the heart, the drive, the desire that God gives all of us, the calling he gives us to use our gifts and abilities for his kingdom. And each one of us is different. But the calling has to be a drive that is out of his heart. It needs to fit my heart. You guys know people that work in a job and they hate it. And you also know people that work in a job and they love it. You know people like that? Boy, I'd do it if I had to pay them to do this job. Are you that person, or are you envious of the one that you know is like that? I will tell these kids in the class, I'll say something about, Beck and I are not called to Africa. We're not. We have a lot of students. We have 4 or 5 students who are training right now to be missionaries in Mozambique. And I'm so appreciative, overwhelmed by that call to give up everything and go to Mozambique. That call's not on my life. My heart, are you guys listening? My heart is not drawn there. It's drawn to what I'm doing today. If God would desire for me to go to Africa, especially like to Mozambique, I would not ask God to open the doors, because man, Satan can open doors too. I wouldn't ask him to give me a good idea. Oh, maybe this is a good plan. Maybe I do need to go to Mozambique. What would I ask God for? Heart. Change my heart. Right now, Africa is not on our radar. If someone said, you ought to think about Africa, and God started to talk to me in my personal life with him, and I started thinking, Africa, maybe so, I would start praying that God would change my heart to where in the end I go, I have to go to Africa. It's all I ever think about. And everything else I'm doing is like trash. Not trash, but I've got to do this. I got to go. We have far too few Christians who have that passion. Football season. The world is right again because it's football season. Did you have a win yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
Who said blowout over there? Who's bragging about the blowout? Was it NAU? Yeah, okay. How many Baylor people do we have out there? Yeah, there you go. So Liberty beat Baylor. A small school beat a big school. Liberty had a 2% chance to win. It's the biggest upset since Appalachian State beat Michigan in 07. Yeah. The desire of your heart. Where is your passion? There was a small team. There was a young David that beat a Goliath. Some of us are so excited about our football teams, and oh yeah, are you that excited about God? By the way, your football team isn't there when you lose your job on Wednesday, when your dogs run over on Friday. You with me? But you cheer for the football team as if that's the end all. Cultivate your time with God. Feel that security that He wants to give you. Now this leads into the third point. Look at seek, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him also, and He will do it. He will make your righteousness, your pursuit, a right standing with God, like the light, and your judgment like the shining of the noonday sun. You guys know what the noonday sun feels like here? We were having staff meeting a couple weeks ago when the eclipse came through. And we all kind of, well, I thought, well, we'll just go out and take a look at it. Don't look directly in the sun. At least not for more than 30 seconds is what I heard. You couldn't even look at it. I mean, you couldn't even see it. I tried for several hours that day and I couldn't do it. How bright is that noonday sun? What do you do with roaches? Yeah. You ever open up the door to your storeroom or into the garage, you turn that light on, and in Houston, I bet you they're going crazy right now. You turn the light on and what happens? They scatter. They flee from the light. It's kind of the feeling I want you to see here. Moses wore righteousness like the noonday sun. In the Old Testament, Moses met with God, and when he came down off the mountain, they couldn't see him. They couldn't look at him. They had to cover him up. When was the last time you felt your walk with God was so illuminating? Has it been a while? It has with me. And it happens with me that the things around me that stress me out, I start focusing on those things. Then I start having a different look at God. He's not there to help me. He's there to, look, can you just take care of this junk? I'm knee deep in it, God. Can you just take care of this? And that's not what He desires. He desires me and Him together. I need to quit looking at the junk and start looking at Him. Because if I'm illuminated with Him, if I've got Him in my life and I'm following Him and I'm trusting Him and I'm secure in Him, this rest of the junk doesn't mean anything, does it? No. And other people will see us walking through this junk and they'll be going, how do you do that? It's my walk with God. It's my relationship with Jesus. I want to seek Him. Trust in Him. He'll make your righteousness shine down. Make the justice of your cause like the sun. Fourth point. There is some silence. There is some siesta in following God. Be still before the Lord, wait patiently for Him, and entrust yourself to Him. Do not fret, whine, or agonize because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. This is hard for me. I am the man. I'm in charge. Someone's done something wrong to me. I'm going to make sure that justice is carried out. You guys like that? I should ask the wives. How many of your husbands are like that? Yep. This is my house. I'm the man. This is hard because it has me giving things up. Things that in a lot of ways I've paid for. That whole van of furniture, which is in New Mexico or Iowa or Ohio, who knows. I paid for that stuff. My wife and I, we spent years collecting it. Are you with me? This is my stuff. This is mine. And it reminds me in the Old Testament of Moses being told to lay your staff that you use, that's your symbol of your job. You're a shepherd. You beat the animals off with this. You nourish them. You nurture them with this. This is your job. Lay it down. Your identity is not this anymore. And I'll give you back the rod of God that no man can explain. I have to get to the point where everything that I've done everything that Beck has done, all that we've collected, you guys listen, our life, Christmas ornaments, little things that Ricky made when he was this big, marriage things, y'all with me? Who we are is God's. And you can throw it away. You can throw it off the bridge. Why? Because God says, I am everything. I am sufficient. I am your God. I am your Lord. You can trust me. Yeah, but I got the stuff. Right. Do you want the stuff more than me? Now, for me right now, it's our furniture. What is it for you? Is it your job? Is it that phony, baloney relationship that you're trying to make work? Is it a relationship that you're having troubles with that you won't correct? What is it that is keeping you from a right relationship with God? Because it's no different than my relationship with the moving company. It's my stuff. The reason why you're not getting right with your brother, sister, mom, whoever, is because it's your stuff. I'm right and they're wrong. It's my job. I went to school. God didn't go to school. It's my job. What is in front of your relationship with God? Now listen up. The way the Spirit moves, the way the Spirit convicts, He doesn't come and convict you just of what you're doing with your hands. Oh, you need to stop doing telling lies to people. That's just not all that the Spirit does. He says, because of the sin in your life, that's creating a heart problem with you and God. That's what He's after. He's after you getting right in your heart. You're right in the heart, the hands follow. Don't concentrate on your hands, doing the right thing and all that. Concentrate on a right heart. Some of this is silence before God. Have you ever been at that point where you say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I'll rest in you. I'll quiet myself. I'll take a siesta. You know, Jesus took siestas. In the middle of the day, He would get away from the crowds, and they wanted Him so bad. Oh, tell us more. Teach us more. And it must have been awfully tempting to continue to teach and tell them all the things that He knows, and He would leave them alone. And He'd get away just He and His Lord and His Master, His Father. Same with you and me. Get away from everything. Get with God. Spend time with Him. The last thing is stop. Look at verse 8. Cease from anger and abandon wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. Stop. Stop. Isn't that easy? Well, that's it. That's the job. You guys all... You didn't know that before. Stop your evil ways. There you go. Now that's easier said than done, isn't it? Isn't it funny how he has all these S's beforehand, and then he gets to the last one and he says, now stop the evil things that you're doing. But no, go back through it. Surrender. If I surrender myself, if I trust myself, I'm in for a long haul. If I trust Him, then I truly am surrendered. Secure. Siesta. Now I can stop the evil things that are in my heart. You know what I like to do? I like to start at the last one. I want to go get the bad guys and say, okay, we're going to stop this right now. You're in a lot of trouble. It's easy for us to judge other people, isn't it? And by the way, I don't know about you guys, I judge other people in the same issues that I have. I can see the evil in other people that I do. I can see them in their lives a lot clearer than anything else. Yeah. And I like to start there. I like to start with going and saying, hey, you guys need to get straight. Let's go. Come on now. But when I go this other way, surrender, oh, it is about me, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Security, can I secure myself in Him? Do I seek Him? Am I resting in Him? Wow. Only then can I stop. Pretty good message, huh? It's to me. Oh, mercy is it to me. I say this all the time. These messages, there's a big mirror in front of me. This message today is at my feet. God is talking to me as we speak. Be praying for your pastor that this week in all of his actions and in all of his motivations that he represents Jesus in a very Christ-like, glorifying way, and that he doesn't take that over in his own self. Does that make sense? You can amen. The sermon's over. I'm not going to go on. Final thing, there are some spiritual gift surveys in the back. Make sure you pick them up. Okay? We've got about 30 or 40 of these. Find out your spiritual surveys in the back. Fill these out. There's about 100 questions or so. And we'd like to get them back. We're going to have a time of invitation. Guys, come on up and get prepared for it. A couple of things I want you to think about. Next week, we are having on a special three-week Sunday school small group, and it's on the church and church membership and so forth. If you need to join the church, if God has been speaking to you about joining the church, do it now. We are going to get a new pastor one day. Don't wait for the new pastor to get here. Just come on and join now. If God is speaking to you today, step up to the plate, join the church. Because the church is about us. We are going to get a leader who will lead us forward, but the church is us. So if God's talking to you about church membership, today's a great time. Join today, get in next week when we do our class. The other thing, if God has led you to accept Him as your Savior, now is the time to come forward. The Bible says that if you confess yourself before men, I'll confess yourself before heaven. So come forward today. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thanks so much for the day, for the message. And bless this invitation that is in your hands, Lord. We love you and know that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.